to the portal. The Bartle portal, that is. Utes' own Steve Bartle brings you the latest on the Utes, the recruiting trail, and plenty more every Monday on The Bill Riley Show. Our weekly chat with Utes' own Steve Bartle is brought to you by Toyota Dealers.
Bartle joins us now here on ESPN 700. Good to have him in on a Monday. He was up at the Whittingham press conference today where we got the news. Brant Keithy is done for the year. He was also in Tempe covering the game on Saturday night. Steve, how are you?
Doing good, Bill. I'm doing good. Could be a lot better, obviously, with the news today, but I'm doing good, man. Doing good. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing fine. Hopefully, I'll get a chance to talk to Brant tomorrow if timing and rehab and doctor stuff allows, but he's most definitely done for the season with an ACL, which stinks. It's obviously a big blow to the Utah offense, too, because he was kind of the key cog in this Utah offense. He was the Swiss Army knife. He'd run the ball. He'd catch the ball. He'd be a tight end. He'd be a wide receiver. He was a good leader, too. And, you know, there's no one guy that's going to be able to step up and fill that void. So give me your read on the injury and the impact on the Utah offense.
Yeah. You know, anytime you lose your star player, your number one guy, the guy that you build a lot of your game plan around, you know, that's a tough, tough blow, right? It's going to be hard to replicate a lot of what he did just because he was so unique. He was a matchup advantage for Utah in so many ways, just because, you know, his size, his athleticism, he brought a lot of unique ability to this team. And, you know, he was a clear matchup advantage against a team like Florida. And when you have a clear matchup advantage against a team like Florida, you have a pretty damn good player. So, you know, it's tough. They're not just going to be able to plug somebody in and replace him. It'll be tough, but you know, the nice thing here is you've got a guy in Dalton Kincaid who can, you know, he's certainly proven to be a very good playmaker and can take more responsibility, more playmaking responsibility. You've got a guy in Thomas Yasmin who, you know, we saw what he was able to do, a 72-yard run. He's got some athleticism. He's not Brant Keithy, but he can add a dynamic to this offense still and can be a guy. Manier McLean is another guy. And then, you know, you also have the receivers. You've got Devon Bailey, who has really started to come on the last two games. You can shift some more opportunities to him and some of the other receivers. So, you know, it's tough. You don't get better by losing your best player, but, you know, this will provide an opportunity for others to step up and to make plays and to have those opportunities to make plays. And so it's going to be dependent upon those guys to make those plays when they have those opportunities. So it's tough, man. You're heartbroken for Brant because, you know, this season was, you know, in talking to him, he was focused on nothing but the team first. When I spoke to him in fall camp, you know, I asked him what his individual goals were, and you know, he said he didn't have any. All he was focused on was winning and getting back to the Pac-12 championship, getting back to the Rose Bowl, maybe getting to the college football playoff. And so it's tough when you lose a leader like that, a good teammate and a good person. It's tough to see somebody like that go down with a season-ending injury. So, you know, it's gut-wrenching. It's heartbreaking. It's part of the sport, which is the unfortunate thing. But, you know, Utah, they have playmakers. They have depth.
Let's talk about that for a minute. Vele and Kincaid are already part of the offense. They'll certainly get more targets. Give me the guy you think that's not really a big part of the offense now that becomes a bigger part of the offense. You mentioned Thomas Yasmin, maybe. What about a guy like Money Parks? You know, Money Parks may be a little bit bigger part of the offense now. Maybe he fills in that receiver spot where Brant lines up. Maybe it's, I don't know, Mekhi Cope. I'm just looking for somebody that's not. I mean, Vele and Kincaid, yeah, they'll probably get a few more looks and targets. They're already in there. Maybe Solomon Enos, but obviously Solo's going to have to hold on to the football a little bit too. Give me somebody that's not a big part of the offense now whose role may emerge a little bit more with Keithy's absence.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I kind of alluded to it, but you're going to have guys like Thomas Yasmin get more opportunities. He is not going to be Brant Keithy, but he provides athleticism and brings a dynamic to the field that, you know, Ludwig can utilize. He's a big target. He's a guy with speed, so you can get him down the field. You've got a guy in Money Parks who can change directions. He's a good, potentially a good slot receiver. Then you also have this guy by the name of Nir McClain, who's a former USC wide receiver. He was the primary backup to Brant Keithy, you know, at that position, that U-back position. Can he step up? Can he see the opportunity that's in front of him and make the improvements in the areas that he needs to? He needed to become a better blocker. And, you know, we've seen what he can do, what he brings to the field as a pass catcher, as a receiver, and the limited glimpses that we've had of him in spring ball. But those are really the guys that you have to look at and hopefully are given more opportunities. Thomas Yasmin, Money Parks, and Manir McClain.
Talking to Steve Bartle here on the Bill Riley Show today on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700. So give me your read on the running back room right now, Steve. Tavion obviously was not starting Saturday night. He didn't play till the second half. Jalen Glover got the start. We saw a little bit of Mekhi Bernard. I know Mekhi has been battling some injury issues. We also saw Jaquindon Jackson. How do you see this running back room? Because that's such a big part of what Utah does, kind of moving forward here into the second month of the season.
Yeah, you know, obviously there's something going on with Tavion. I think Coach Whittingham has alluded to it in his post-game presser and his press conference today that, you know, there's certainly things. You don't just bench your best running back for no reason when he's healthy, right? So there's certainly something going on there. And so Jalen Glover, Mekhi Bernard were given more opportunities on Saturday. They performed well, but it's something where, you know, is it going to be enough? They can certainly make progress as they get more comfortable. Speaking specifically of Jalen Glover, right? This is his true freshman season. It's only his fourth game collegiately. So he can make progress there. Jaquindon Jackson is so fascinating to me because, I mean, you don't find guys 6'2", 230 pounds that run and move the way that he does. He glides almost with the ball in his hands. Can he make the transition fully? Obviously, he has the athleticism. He's comfortable running with the ball in his hands. He has experience as a running back, but can he make that complete transformation as a running back where, you know, your eyes, your feet are that of a running back and less of a quarterback? So he's going to have to make that transition. He's going to have to learn, you know, how to pick up blitzes properly. You know, he's no longer the guy being protected. He is now the protector, and that's going to be an adjustment for him. But man, if there's a guy that you're hoping can make it work, it's Jaquindon Jackson, because that potential is through the roof, that size, that athleticism. But yeah. Again, Tavion, it was just so funny. His first touch went for 28 yards. There's obviously he's a talented guy, but he's going to have to make he's going to have to, you know, improve in certain areas. Kyle Whittingham talked about it. He's going to have to be more responsible and accountable on and off the field. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out.
Steve Bartle with us, chief content creator over there at UteZone.com, host of the Blockcast podcast as well. Is this going to be the best team that Utah's faced this year coming in Saturday?
I think so. Man, I'm a big fan of Jonathan Smith. He's built this thing at Oregon State into a good, tough physical program. They play the game the right way. You know, they're not going to beat themselves a lot. And so it's a disciplined team. It's a physical team. It's a team that Kyle Whittingham has a lot of respect for. And that's, you know, so that says a lot. And this will be a tough test. Chance Nolan is a guy that he doesn't have maybe the big talent. He's not the most talented quarterback, but he's a guy that's found confidence and comfort in this offense and knows where to pick his spots, where to make throws, he's really maximized his ability in this Oregon State offense, which again is built around the run. They've got a strong offensive line and a good defense as well. They're good in the secondary. They're good up front. They get after the quarterback. This will certainly be a tough test. Is it the most talented team Utah has faced? No, Florida will be that and will likely be that. Regardless Florida is the most talented team Utah will face this season. There's just a lot going on there with Florida that
more than USC.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, sure. Like USC has more talent offensively, But defensively, Florida, I mean, overall, that team is loaded with talent, just loaded with talent. So, and plus, you know, we're already starting to see injuries on that defensive side from USC. They lost one of their pass rushers, a couple pass rushers now. So we're already starting to see some attrition there with them. But yeah, no, Oregon State, they're very well coached, very well prepared. This will be a tough test.
I'm really curious to talk to somebody that watched that whole game just to see what, because Oregon State, they play really hard. They're not the most, they're far from the most talented team. I'm very curious what they did to limit USC offensively.
Yeah, I mean, they made it tough on Caleb Williams. They got after him, they pressured him. You know, no quarterback is going to be great when they've got guys at their feet, guys hitting them. You know, it's tough. Even the best are not at their best when they're getting pressure. So that was a big factor for them. They were able to get in his face, hit him a couple times. And, you know, they have a good secondary, particularly a couple of good safeties. Jadon Grant is, you know, a preseason all-conference selection. They've got, you know, ability to cover a lot of ground. They've got some rangy safeties. And they were just able to get after Caleb a little bit and make it tough. You know, speed up his clock a little bit. He's had a lot of time this season to just sit back in the pocket and kind of pick, you know, pick his spots, you know, because he wasn't pressured. But Oregon State was able to get after him. So, you know, if you're Utah, you learned a lot about USC and how you match up with them from that Oregon State game.
Anything on the recruiting front? Seems like it's been quiet recruiting-wise so far, Steve. Will there be a lot of guys in town this weekend?
Yeah, there should be a couple visitors. So the thing is, like, with the recruiting calendar being what it is now, where you've got a lot of your recruiting being done in the summer, that means fall isn't going to be as busy. You know, there's a limited amount of official visits that you can give out. I think the number is 56, and, you know, they use 35 of them, if not more. It may have even been a couple more. You know, they used 35, 36, 37 in the summer. So there's just limited spots. But, you know, Utah's still recruiting a handful of guys. Caleb Lomu is an offensive tackle that, you know, is the primary guy that they're after. There's a couple others, you know, some running backs still that they're after. John Randall is another guy. And so it is kind of quiet locally here. Smith Snowden is still, you know, a guy that they're pushing for. Spencer Fano is one of the top offensive tackles. He released a top four. That included Utah, BYU, Michigan, and Oregon. So, you know, it's not the same as it was in years past where we had, you know, 6, 7, 8 official visitors every week, every game week, you know. But it's still, Utah's still recruiting a handful of guys that they've prioritized this cycle.
So keep an eye out at UteZone.com for any and all of that. That's what Steve covers and does a great job, plus all the content this week, Blockcast, podcast, and more. Back-to-back games, by the way, in the Sun. Noon kickoff this week, 1:30 kickoff the following week. So back-to-back day games.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I can't remember the last time we had back-to-back day games. It's probably been a while. But yeah, it should be interesting. USC next week, 1:30. That'll be an interesting one. USC has certainly not looked great. They haven't been very impressive.
You mean UCLA?
UCLA, sorry. UCLA. Yeah, that'll be an interesting one.
It sure will, and we'll be there. So we UteZone.com. Bartle, as always, man, thanks so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, sounds good, Bill. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, Steve.